listening to a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table, a congregation of the Anglican Church of Canada located in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come like a fire and burn. Come like the wind and cleanse. Convict, convert, and consecrate our hearts for our great good and for your great glory. Amen. So tonight, we just need to back up in our gospel reading just a little bit. The things that they were saying, that's how our gospel reading opens this evening. What they were talking about, those things, was their experience, these two disciples, was their experience on the road to Emmaus. We all know this story. Two disciples were talking about what had happened over the previous week. There was all sorts of chaos. There was an arrest. There was jeering. There was a crucifixion. And then there were the women who were at the tomb on the morning who saw Jesus. And they ran to tell the other disciples that they had seen Jesus. And now, two of these disciples were on their way from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And during that time, they were walking and talking, probably trying to remember what Jesus had taught them during their time of ministry together. A bit of scripture here and a bit of scripture there, maybe a new prophetic word from Jesus, something about tearing down and building up temples. And then again, these women running and telling them they had actually seen the Lord in the garden, all the while kicking up dust as they made their way towards Emmaus. And then Jesus, unbeknownst to them, came and asked them what they were talking about, and responded by opening up the scriptures to them as they walked. When he had finished, he was about to continue along the road without them. But the disciples convinced them to come with him, to go with them and rest and eat with them that night. And then when he took the bread that was in the meal that they were having, he broke it. And they finally, at that moment, saw that it was Jesus, and poof, he was gone. And now it was their turn to go and tell the other disciples why, while they were saying those things, so while the disciples who had seen him in Emmaus went back to Jerusalem, while they were talking, that's where our scripture picks up tonight. Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then Jesus did the same thing that he did with the other two disciples while on the road to Emmaus. He opened up the scriptures. He ate with them, this time a piece of fish. And then, we're going to skip ahead a little bit here, when they were done in Jerusalem, he walked with them. He led them out as far as Bethany, where he was lifted up, and he blessed them, and then he was gone. He taught, he ate, he blessed, and he walked. That was basically his whole ministry, pretty much his whole life. He ate and drank from the wedding at Cana to the Last Supper, and all of the meals in between. He fed thousands with a few fish and a few loaves. He taught in the temple to the chief priests and scribes, even when he was a child. He taught in the streets and around tables, on plains and up mountains. And he even opened up the scripture for the devil while he was being tempted in the wilderness. He blessed and he healed everyone. Everywhere he went, he lifted up Peter's mother-in-law who had a fever. He healed a man who had been dropped through a roof. And he healed the woman who had bled for 12 years. In the Gospel of John, we read the many other things which Jesus did If every one of them were written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that they were written in. And he walked. He had no other choice. I mean, he rode a donkey at some point, but he walked. Everywhere he went, he walked. It's safe to say that as he walked, he was probably in conversation with those who were following him. He walked from Jerusalem to Emmaus. He walked from Jerusalem to Bethany. He walked 5,000 kilometers during his 3-year ministry. Jesus walked on water. All of these things, and during all of these things, he was always giving thanks to Abba, his father. And none of these things came or went without constant prayer between him and his Father in heaven. This was his way. When we hear Jesus say that he is the way, the truth, and the life, this is the way. Walking, teaching, eating, blessing, praying. Or better, praying, eating, teaching, blessing, walking, praying. Or praying, teaching, eating, blessing, walking, praying. Really, it's kind of whichever order which was right for that particular moment. And it would have been different in every moment, like each one of us here. Different, either here or online, either listening tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday on the podcast, or years from now, because that happens. All of us different. But there is one thing that is the same around the globe of people who are hearing these words in their right now, in our right now, is that there is something about the life of Jesus, something about the way of Jesus, the blessing of Jesus that speaks to us, that blesses us. And it will have been different for each of the disciples 2,000 years ago. A fisherman, a tax collector, and the mother of God would have been following Jesus for very different personal reasons. But there is something about him that spoke to all of them, to the billions that have followed since, and all who will follow in the future. To eat with one another, to walk slow and listen to one another, to learn and explore the divine wisdom together, to find peace and endurance in prayer, to bless one another. No matter how different our motives and understandings are for being here, tell me which part of that life does not sound like a life worth living. Now, need to be careful. This week, on Wednesday, I was part of a conversation group, a group of people called together to work on a book of theology of preaching. And this week's topic was to discuss what it means to preach the way without reducing it to a to-do list. I don't know if you noticed, but I love to-do lists because it means you don't forget the bread and the bowl and your stool. It means that you have everything ready at the beginning of service. I love to-do lists. But not in a spiritual life. Because a to-do list spirituality, a moralistic spirituality, breaks down so fast. For instance, love your neighbor as yourself. Go. Like, we might not even make it home before we have an unkind thought or word about that neighbor that just made a very poor driving decision. In that case, if it's a to-do list spirituality, where the checkbox is love your neighbor, then you would never be able to check that box off, because they're the ones who blew the stop sign and almost hit you. Nobody in their right mind is ever going to try to follow a spiritual to-do list that they know that they couldn't even begin. You couldn't make one check. Now, yes, Jesus is constantly telling people what to do. Think of the rich man. Jesus tells him to go and sell everything and then follow him. That is a very clear to-do for that individual person. So sometimes, often, probably, individually, the need is there. But we are not speaking. We are not here together individually. We are gathered here as the body of Christ, trying to learn together the way of Jesus. Okay, little tangent over. Right. This way of Jesus is not a to-do list. Eat together, walk together, teach and learn together, pray together, bless one another. They are not a list because you check things off a list. Lists get completed. Things to do get done. A way, the way, never ends. It's a whole shape of life. Once you've blessed one person, it's not like you check off the blessings and call it a day. No, God forbid that, because there's probably another blessing waiting around the corner. Once you've eaten with one person, you don't say, check, ate with one person today. No. There may be an incredible tiramisu waiting for you in the kitchen. If we think of the way of Jesus as a to-do list, it's a burden to complete. But if we see it as an invitation to a much more wholesome and richer divine shape of life, then the whole idea of burden basically disappears. Yes, there will be times when that walk of conversation or the meal is in fact a very difficult one. It's a burdening conversation or action or whatever it is. That's the carry the cross part. And that's important. And that particular blessing will be costly. And as the world stands right now, with conflicts between nations, conflicts within nations, conflicts between churches, conflicts within churches, conflicts between families, conflicts within families. All of the blessings and bridges and conversations that we can have between one another in love end up being worth, in so many ways, infinitely more than the cost. Hopefully. And all of those things set in the way of Jesus, they bear their own reward. In the very least, we have participated in the building up of the kingdom of God, acted as the hands and the feet of the body of Christ. That alone is its own divine blessing. So all of these things, they all happen in the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke. This is it. There's only a few verses after what we just talked about. Now remember that Luke is the physician. He is the one who is keeping everything in order. In Luke chapter 1, he says, using reports handed down by the original eyewitnesses who served this word with their very lives, since I have investigated all of these reports in close detail, starting from the story's beginning, I decided to write it all out for you. So then the last chapter, the garden with Mary, walking, teaching, and eating, the road to Emmaus, his appearing, teaching, and eating with them in Jerusalem, and then walking and talking with them to Bethany until he blessed them and then ascended. Luke, as the physician, he is the one who cares about the health of Theophilus, which is translated lover of God, me and you. Luke, in his last chapter, has said to us, if you remember one thing, remember this, the way of Jesus. Eat with each other. Give thanks and pray with each other. Walk with each other. Learn of Jesus with each other. And bless each other. All of these are worth their own sermon. Because in so doing, we are partaking in the ministry of the life-giving way that Jesus began, and that he will bring into completion, not through our will. Because if it were through our will, then it's a check. It's not through our will. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus will bring everything to its completion through each one of us here and online and whoever's listening to this whenever you are. Amen.
This has been a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table. For information on our church and to access the full catalog of our podcasts going all the way back to 2006, visit us online at stbenedictstable.ca. In addition, if you are interested in supporting our online work, you can find information on the website using the donate button located on the top right-hand corner. Thanks for listening.